Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news this Tuesday, the 27th of January, 2026. Lots to get into. Two in, two out. Ugarte and Xerxes, Anderson and one other. Are Manchester United about to make any moves in the next few days? Also, do Man United need to sign a winger? Have they already got a solution there? I'm just laughing, actually. I've got to read it out. There was a comment from Messi saying this. Our activity this transfer window, Harry Amas out on loan. Boom. Yeah, I mean, it is crap. It is. There are still a few days left, but it is absolutely crap. Also, what price a Marcus Rashford return? There was an article from Andy Mitten today talking about Marcus Rashford and his time at Barcelona. Could he be coming back to Manchester United? A few people have been talking about that. We'll talk about that too. Also, a little bit more on Cole Palmer. I don't really want to talk about it, but lots of people are talking about it again. There's a weird thing about Cole Palmer. Everybody knows it's complete and utter shit, but everybody keeps writing about it. And there must be some sort of algorithm around Cole Palmer. If you say something about Cole Palmer, it gets loads and loads of interaction because it is a load of shit, but a load of people are talking about it again. Let's get into the show. So midfield is where we're going to start today. It's the Tuesday morning drop, which we normally get from The Athletic re-transfers. It's the David Ornstein article. And they're talking about Manchester United and the midfield. So essentially what is being said is that Casemiro's departure at the end of this season has long been expected. And in that sense, last week's news does not change plans at Manchester United. United's intention was already to ideally sign more than one midfielder this coming summer as part of a long-needed overhaul in the middle of the park. Casemiro is potentially not the only exit in that position, with Ugarte's long-term future also in doubt. United's priority targets for the position are well established. Nottingham Forest's Elliot Anderson is their first choice, whilst Belaba and Adam Wharton are also hugely admired. Oh, fucking yawn. I mean, what I would say is, and I think it's fair to say this, is that United are clearly very, 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 very persistent in briefing journalists that Elliot Anderson is our number one priority and that we admire Adam Wharton and Carlos Belaba. Now, we can take a pop at journalists and say that they regurgitate the same old shit, but this has been being briefed since September. So Man United are putting this out. The only thing I would say is, I mean, look, you could say, look, Semenyu, we went for him and we didn't get him. But they have been briefing this for a very, very long time. Now, I'm 95% sure we're going to go for Belaba, but I just don't know how to interpret this. Are we attaching ourselves to Anderson and Wharton on pure spin grounds so that fans just forget the January transfer window and think the club are real? And then when Anderson goes to Man City and United can go, well, look at the wages, we can't pay that. And then Wharton goes to Liverpool and you go, look at the transfer fee, we can't pay that. And then we sign Belaba anyway. It could all be a big smokescreen. You mention Anderson, you mention Wharton, all the fans get excited and you sign Belaba and that's it. So it could be that. Or it could be that we go and pull off a deal that I would say is absolutely incredible. Like, I think signing Elliot Anderson for Manchester United, we've signed a lot of good midfielders in my time as a United fan. And I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Roy Keane or Michael Carrick, but those two signings were exceptional midfield signings. I mean, it's hard to find in the Premier League era, it's hard to find two better midfield signings for Manchester United. And to say that Elliot Anderson could be in that sort of category is ridiculous. But I do think he is the type of signing that Manchester United need to make. And it's interesting that we keep mentioning it. Look, let's be clear. The club are very happy for journalists to associate Manchester United with Elliot Anderson. Now, are we being played? In which case, you know, it's very frustrating. Or are we actually in this conversation? Because The Athletic have probably been the number one in relation to Elliot Anderson. It's their constant default. Man United aren't going to look to make any signings in January. They're more focused on the summer and Elliot Anderson is the priority. Well, that's great if Elliot Anderson is the player that we sign. But if we don't sign him, what we've basically been done, courtesy of The Athletic, courtesy of other outlets and courtesy of Man United, is we've been spun around like a roundabout for 9 months. Because if we don't sign him, it's just a smokescreen, isn't it? And I think that United can't just do that. Well, they can. They've been doing it for years. But you can't just say Elliot Anderson, Elliot Anderson, Elliot Anderson, Elliot Anderson, and then he goes and signs for Man City. You can't do that. If you're going to put it out there and play off the interactions that generates, then you better bloody better go and get him. And that's my feeling about Elliot Anderson now, is like, we have been linked to him so consistently over the last 6 months. We better bloody go and get him. It better not just be, oh, let's just say that, or oh, we'll have a go. There better be some bloody groundwork in it. There better be some encouragement. There better be some acknowledgement that this is going to happen, because it's going to be very, very frustrating if we see him going to play for a rival. You can't keep doing that. I know Carrick's at the wheel and Ollie's been at the wheel and we've had all these managers, but let's get real. Forget the wheel. Let's get real. We will not get back on top with a great manager. You will need to supplement that with great players. And if these great players are going to continually sign for other people, it doesn't matter who your manager is going to be. You can't polish a turd. Yeah, they can turn up and get you a result against Arsenal and Man City, but they won't do it over 38 games. They won't. We know that. I admire Bruno. I admire Maguire. You know, Luke Shaw played well at the weekend. Delo played well at the weekend. But we've been down this track so many times with these players. They will not do it over an entirety of a season. So you've got to bring players in that can. And when you look at someone like Man City, even this month, Semenyo was a player that we wanted. And right at the top of his game, he's gone into that Man City side and he's scoring goals already. And Gehi is the best centre-back in the league. I was going to say outside of the top three, but I mean, you could say he's one of the best centre-backs in the league. So if they then go and get Elliot Anderson as well, they've probably gone and got the best midfielder outside of the top three. So you can't... I know everybody's waiting for the Man City case, but if it doesn't happen, they keep buying the best players in the league and they're going to keep being one of the best teams in the league. So look, let's wait and see what happens. We know Casemiro is going to go. We know that we need to buy more than one midfielder, and we know that one of them is going to be Carlos Baleba. But it's getting to the point now where I don't think United can keep telling The Athletic, well, Elliot Anderson's a top priority. Like, that's like John walking into the local pub and saying, well, I'm back on the market and Margot Robbie's the priority. That's great, John. And I'm sure she is your priority, but she's got no bloody interest in you. So stop talking about it and find, you know, go and do something about it. And I want to know, really, if that's United's... Are we just putting a name out there for clicks and, you know, shits and clicks? Or are we actually confident that we can do this deal? And the thing is, you just don't know with United, do you? You don't know whether we're just playing the game anymore. Are we just playing a game? Or are we genuinely going to get him? Because if we do sign Elliot Anderson, I'll be the first to sit here and go, that's a very impressive signing. And I'll also be here sitting here going, well, let's not have a bloody disco. We are Manchester United. We are meant to be the Real Madrid of England. We are meant to be the Bayern Munich of England. We should be doing these sort of deals. It's laughable, really, that fourth place and signing Elliot Anderson would be deemed as we're back. Well, we're not back, are we? Fourth place isn't anywhere near where we need to be. And signing a decent player is the sort of thing we should be doing every year. So these are the things that will impress me, but we need to be doing it. We need to be doing it, don't we? But look, as the article says, two in, two out, sound like a fucking owl. Obviously, Casemiro's going to go. It mentions Ugarte again. I don't see a way back for Ugarte. I mentioned this last night. I don't see a way back for Ugarte. I think he might get some minutes in the next few months. But I think when you're 18 months in and it's not looking good, it's very unlikely it's going to start to get good. I think you can have a bad first season, but I don't think you can have a bad season and a half and turn it around. It's very rare for that to happen. So I think with Ugarte, he's probably gone in the summer. And that I would see as a positive. Look, players do flop. Players flop all over the place, and the best thing is to acknowledge that as a player and as a club and do something about it. But it does open the door for another midfielder as well, and let's hope. I mean, look, I would be ridiculously encouraged if in the summer we went and bought an Anderson and even a Baleba. I don't mind Baleba coming in as long as he's not the guy. I don't trust that signing anyway, and I certainly don't trust it as the big summer midfield signing. But if you went and got Elliot Anderson and Carlos Baleba, I think you've suddenly got a very interesting dynamic in that Man United side. But look, everything is indicating at the moment that we're going to go for two midfielders. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wait till the summer. That's a big risk. It might work out. By pure chance and luck, it might work out. I'm sure if we get to the summer and we're in the Champions League and we didn't do anything in January, they're going to sit there and go, we told you so, we know better than you. Do you think they know better than you if they don't buy anybody in January and we get Champions League football? Or do you think actually they've just got away with it? Because I think the latter. I don't think Omar Berada or Jason Wilcox know better than you. I don't think if we get Champions League football and we don't buy a player in the next week, they were right and you were wrong. I think they've got lucky. Why have Man City gone and bought Gehi and Semenyo then? Why did you buy Dorgu last year? Why did you buy Bruno? Why did Chelsea buy Enzo Fernandez in January? So I don't think we were looking at this last night. The Premier League is not as good as it was last year. We'd be in eighth place last year with the points that we've got. So we are not right to not invest in January. If we get Champions League football without investing in January, they're very lucky. But I don't think you can map that out and go, yeah, this is the right thing to do. Good morning, Mark. What did you have for breakfast, says Rich? For breakfast this morning, Rich, I had two slices of toast and a smoothie. We know we could lose two midfielders this summer and we get Europe. Then we are probably going to need to buy four midfielders. Let that sink in, says Average. And also as well, another lucky aspect is that, and this is why it is pure luck and it's not strategy, they can't guarantee that we were going to beat Arsenal and Man City. It's only because we've beaten... I mean, nobody could guarantee that. So you're telling me Omar Berada and Jason Wilcox sat there and went, we don't need to buy in January because Carrick's going to beat Arsenal and Man City and put us in a strong position and Liverpool are going to flop again. You can't predict those sort of things. That's complete and utter horseshit. There is absolutely no way Jason Wilcox and Omar Berada a couple of weeks ago sat there and went, we don't need to buy people in January because Carrick's going to beat Arsenal and Man City, Liverpool are going to fall off again, and then we're going to have an open goal for the Champions League. That's bullshit. That's just pure luck. But the reason I say that is because if we'd lost to Arsenal and Man City and Liverpool had beaten Burnley and Bournemouth, the flip around would be terrifying. We'd have no points from the last two, and Liverpool would have another five. So where would we be in the league? We'd be in trouble. And that could have happened. And that would have been on Wilcox. And that would have been on Berada. And then you're trying to convince players to come when you don't look like you're going to get Champions League. So they're very lucky that Carrick's come in and got those amazing results. Because now they can go, oh, we were right not to buy in January. And they can also go to agents saying, looks like we're going to be in the Champions League. So they have been a bit lucky there. You're my priority, says official Margot Robbie. I'm worried the season's midfield is next season's defence. Sorry, Red Devil Girl, let me get this right. I'm worried this season's midfield is next season's defence. Next focus after midfield should be an elite backline because of age, youth, injuries, says Red Devil Girl. Well, it's interesting you say that. I mean, I want to talk about the wing. I want to talk about Rashford. We'll talk about Palmer a little bit and a couple of other bits that are in the Athletic article. But it's interesting you say that. And this is why... You know, remember when Amrin was here and people kept talking about the youth? And I can't remember how many people agreed with me, but I said, I don't massively care. It's about results at United. It is about results. If you get results, nobody talks about anything. If you don't get results, people talk about the Glazers. They talk about the youth. And that's the way it is. And Amrin struggled for results at times because we drew too many games. We only lost five, the same as Man City and Villa, but we drew too many games. So people started going, oh, he doesn't pick Mainoo. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. He doesn't won't give Lacey any minutes. Look at United in the last couple of games. Heaven's not had a sniff. Yoro's not had a sniff. Lacey wasn't on the bench at the weekend, was he? But it doesn't matter because Carrick's back and we're winning against Arsenal and Man City. And this is the thing about United is that if you're getting results... You won't get those conversations about, oh, where's the youth, this, that and the other. But if you're not getting the results, all those things will happen. And what's that got to do with Red Devil Girl's point? Well, we have got some good centre-backs. You know, we've got to develop Yoro. He cost a lot of money. Aidan Heavens had a very good season. I understand why Carrick has gone with Martinez and Maguire. Carrick simplified things. He's basically gone in and said, I need results. I'm not messing about. I need results. It's Maguire and Martinez. It's Luke Shaw at left back. I'm not fucking about with Yoro or Heaven or Dorgu at left back. I'm building a strong defence and I'm going to put Casemiro in front of it. And you know, I'm gonna get as many experienced players I can in that team. Sesko's on the bench and Bermo's up front. If apart from Mainoo, his team that he's picking is pretty experienced. All right, you got Dorgu on the wing, but he's not at left back. I ain't got a problem with that. But what I would say about centre backs, and the reason I bring that in, is that I don't think we do need to go out and buy centre backs. We're playing a back four now. We can only pick two centre backs. You've got Martinez, De Ligt when he comes back. You've got Yoro, you've got Heaven. You're still going to probably have Maguire. I feel like I've missed somebody out as well. So I think we're all right at the back. I think the interesting thing for me is going to be the winger, because, and listen to me on this, we're all greedy. We're all greedy. Managers are greedy. Fans are greedy. Unfortunately, our owners aren't greedy. They're tight. But we talk about Semenyo and we talk about, oh, we might go for Diamande. Do we need to do that? Do we need to get a winger in the summer? Now, I don't want to do the Glazers' work here, and thankfully, I don't think they watch the United stand, but do we need to go and sign a winger in the summer? There's talk of Rashford coming back, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but what is Dorgu? Do you want Dorgu to be a left-back, or do you want him to be a winger? In an Amrim system, you can be both. In a back four, you're one or the other. And I'm sort of looking at Dorgu, and I'm thinking, and people are right about the Gareth Bale recommendations, because I just think he's got an incredible shot, he's got incredible energy, he's really physical, and he's very direct. I'm leaning towards Dorgu as a winger, and you do have to make that choice. You can't just go, you're a left back today, you're a left winger tomorrow. You do have to make that choice. And if Dorgu's a winger, and I think as a fan base, I'm getting goosebumps about this. I don't know why. Maybe I'm a bit cold this morning. But I am excited. Like, if Dorgu is a winger, that changes the whole dynamic of that squad. And it's a big choice to make. It's early, but I think he's a winger. I think Dorgu... I mean, we've got to do a poll on it. We've got to do a poll on this. Dorgu, winger, left back or winger? Now, if he's a winger, do you need to go and buy Diamande for £80 million from Leipzig? No, you bloody don't. And he plays off the right. I mean, let's not misprofile people. Diamande predominantly plays off the right for Leipzig as well. And I'm like, obviously we've got the Bundesliga rights on, that's football. But I do sometimes worry about some of the stories we get, because Diamande plays off the right for Leipzig. I'm sure he can play off the left, but there'll be a reason he's playing off the right for Leipzig, and that reason might be why he'd be a better player on the right for the rest of his career. We've got Amad on the right, and Bermo can go on the right. We've got two really good options on the right. If you've got Dorgu on the left, and I love Dorgu on the... Can I just say why I love Dorgu on the left wing? I love it. Not inverted. He's not inverted. I fucking love wingers that aren't inverted. It's old school. It's Man United. Fair play to Carrick. Like, I love wingers who are left-footed on the left and right-footed on the right. And I know Ahmad's left-footed, and I know that... But Dorgu off the left is good. I'm just starting to look at it, and I'm thinking, there's not really any pressure on Dorgu now. The last few weeks, he's been brilliant. Obviously, he scored a couple of goals in two big games, one against Man City, one against Arsenal. You can live off that for the next 3 months. And I'm sure he won't do. He'll get better and better. But we've got a few months of Dorgu now heading into a summer where I would just be, let's use him as a winger and let's really build him out, because he can only get better. He's only 21. If we use Dorgu as a winger, we don't need to go and buy an £80 million winger. You could go and look at somebody like Nusa at Leipzig, who is also decent, but would be decent to bring in as maybe as a bit of an understudy. We do need two left wingers, but if Dorgu's going to be the main guy, you don't need to go and spend big money. You can spend it elsewhere. I think what Man United need is a left back. I think we need a really good left back. Because I don't think Dorgu's a good left back. He's a work in progress. And the trouble with being a work in progress in the defence is you make a mistake and people say you're shit. Whereas a winger, you've got a lot, you're further away from the goal, you're not likely to make mistakes, you might miss a shot, but people don't react to a missed chance the same way as they do to a mistake that costs a goal. And I think Dorgu is in the right position for his development on the wing. So we need to buy a left back. Luke Shaw's having a miracle. You know, it's incredible what Luke Shaw is doing, and I'm not taking the piss. It's absolutely amazing. Of course, it's because it's a World Cup year. If this was a normal year, he'd have had a few months off by now, I'm sure. However, how long is this going to last? And also, next season, it won't happen. It's not a World Cup year. It's not a Euros year. And his workload will be doubled. I think Luke Shaw's body is probably one game a week, if we're being honest. A lot of people are like, what is Luke Shaw drinking? I think the fact is, Luke Shaw's playing one game a week. And you can manage your body a lot better when you're playing one game a week. That won't happen next season. So we need a left back. We don't have a left back. People talk about Leon. What's gone wrong there? What's gone right there? We don't really see anything from him. He's not been loaned out. I don't really know what's going on with Leon. Obviously, Harry Amass is doing really good. But is he going to be good enough for Man United? We tried to sign that lad from who's gone to Chelsea from Sheffield Wednesday. So I think we need to sign a left back over a winger. At the moment, what you go for, people have mentioned Anthony Robinson at Fulham, probably too old for Man United. He's over 26. I think that's where we'd, that's what we need to do. But look, interesting point. If Dorgu's a winger, why would you go and spend loads of money on a winger? We're going to bench Dorgu. I think you've got to stick with Dorgu. I mean, the guy's scoring goals against Arsenal and Man City. There's nothing better with that. So I think that the more I look at it, and actually as well, what have we got in the youth? Who can play on the left wing in the youth? Like, that's something you want to look at as well. What would be your ideal summer transfer window, says JX? Well, this is a good question because I think that I want to bring Rashford in here and I want to answer that question as well. So Andy Mitten wrote an article this morning or last night about Marcus Rashford in Barcelona and how he's doing really, really well. But if he wants to stay at Barcelona, he's going to have to take a wage cut. Now, there are sections of our fan base that are going, Rashford back is exactly what we need. That profile of player is what we need. The story isn't over. Well, I think about the last 5 minutes and I go, well, I don't want Rashford back. I don't want Rashford. So let's bring Rashford back, who would have to start. Let's bring Rashford back where half the fan base will be fanboying him again and half the fan base won't want him back. Let's bring Rashford back where the media will act the same. Let's bring Rashford back and stunt Dorgu's growth. And I think, look, I know Dorgu's not from Manchester and I know he didn't come up through the youth system. But if we don't develop Dorgu now, he'll flop. He's 21. He's not 18. He's 21. He's scoring goals against big teams. He's playing well. It's now or never for Dorgu. So we're either going to go with Dorgu and potentially turn him into a 80, 90 million pound player. And I don't mean to sell, but like a top quality player. Or we're going to bring someone else in and stunt his growth. And I think now's the time for Dorgu. If he's going to be a winger, now's the time for Dorgu. And also, I don't think Dorgu at left back and Rashford back on the wing is a good idea either. We've got a player here that clearly has huge potential as a left winger. And I think we've got to go with that. You've got to go with the future. Don't go back. So Rashford's doing really well at Barcelona. I can conceive a possibility that he would come back and I can see a possibility of him doing well, but it's a huge risk to go back. I mean, it's like Man United appointing Ollie as the interim. It would have been like that. There'd have been a lot of people who've been really happy about it. There'd been a lot of people who go, what are we doing here? And it might work, but there's a lot of reasons as to why it won't work. And I can't say it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. But to me, Dorgu as a winger next season is better for Man United's future than Marcus Rashford, who will be 29 next year, whereas Dorgu's 21. I think we've got to look for the... Look, it's dangerous to try and build a future on prospects. And it probably won't work, But the interesting thing is with Dorgu, he's one of the few prospects that actually looks like he's going to deliver. And if that's what Man United are going to do, then you've got to grab onto those projects and show everybody else what can be done, because it's risk, isn't it? It's risky, but it looks with Dorgu like we've got a chance. So I wouldn't bring Rashford back, but doesn't mean it won't happen. Also, I think he'd be a fool to come back to Man United. I think, you know, you're living the life. You weren't going to the World Cup staying at Man United. You're going to the World Cup because you're at Barcelona. So I think his career at Barcelona is the right thing to do. As for my ideal summer, JX, my ideal summer at the moment, and I'm not leaving January, by the way, I still think it's disgusting that we're leaving Carrick exposed by not doing anything in the January transfer window. I think it's dangerous. I think it's crap ownership again. I think it's poor strategy. However, you asked me about the summer. I want two top midfielders. I'm talking Elliot Anderson and another, right? I want a left back and I want a top quality left back. Now, I don't know, because I've only thought about it for the last few days, where you would go. I like Grimaldo, too old. DeMarco, not sure about his age. I'd look at something in the Premier League. Lewis Hall would be my dream mid left back. I think he has had such a good season for Newcastle. I think he should be going to the Euros as England's left back. I would love a player like that. I really, really would. And I still think we need an experienced striker. I do. I'm looking at Mateta going to Forest and I'm like, okay, that might not be what we want, but we do need an experienced striker. And I'm not opposed to a right back either. I'm really not. I think that the right back situation at United isn't as strong as we maybe think. I think Mazraoui is going to become more hopefully Mazraoui is going to take Delo's position, but yeah, I'm not that fussed about a winger at the moment, and I thought I would be, but I'm not. Are Cunha and Sesko our secret weapons from the bench, says John. I think Cunha's got to be pushing for a first team place. I mean, I never get stressed about this sort of stuff. Some people do, but I never worry about this because, like, Cunha's come off the bench and been brilliant. I suppose you've got to be of a certain age, but obviously I grew up with the super subs like Ollie, and I know they can have a massive part. And if the player's determined, it can make a big difference. You don't need to force everybody into your team. And who would you drop for Cunha at the moment? Like, I wouldn't drop Dorgu, I wouldn't drop Bruno, I wouldn't drop Mbeumo, and I wouldn't drop Ahmad. So having Cunha off the bench just shows you've got competition for places. It's a rarity. Goldfridge says, from the club's point of view, why would you ever want your top priority in the summer to be known? It makes the deal more difficult unless it's for spin. Talking about Elliot Anderson. Yeah, look, I'll be very pissed off with the club, but I'm very pissed off with the club all the time. To leak to credible journalists for 9 months that Elliot and Anderson's the priority and not get him, you make a great point. Why would you leak that? If that's genuinely your target, why would you put it out there? You reckon Carrick could convince the owners to get Anderson, says Amit. I think they already wanted him before Carrick, to be fair. Daniel Thompson's gifted 2 memberships. You're a legend, pal. Thank you so much this morning. Thanks everyone who's tuning in, as always. Should we get Garner back, says Caleb, over Wharton or Belabor? Well, we're not getting James Garner because he's just signed a new contract to Everton, so that won't be happening. Amrim said he wanted 2 Ahmads. Hello, it's Dorgu, says Simon. And solution, Adogi, he's a monster and will be elite, says Mazraoui. And Goldfridge says, both Ahmad and Dorgu have benefited from playing the wing-back position. We basically have 4 full-backs in terms of work rate and defensive responsibility. I'm glad that you've said that, Goldfridge, because you know what? We're moving forward. It's the only thing you can do. There's no point looking back at Rashford or Sancho or Amorim or anything like that. We can comment about the past, but we've got to look forward. And I think you're right. And I think a few people have picked up on this. What about Truffert from Bournemouth? Oh, yes. Yes, I do like him a lot. There are a few good left-backs out there. I mean, Truffert at Bournemouth is very good. Lewis Hall is very good at Newcastle. Premier League would help in that position. But look, the Nathaniel Brown, solid left-back at Eintracht Frankfurt as well, says Pitbull. We have been linked to him as well. Yeah, I mean, they do concede a lot of goals. But I think Frankfurt have been playing sort of a back 5 as well. So it's a little bit different. But going back to what Goldfridge said there, it's true. Like, I saw an article today, it was in the Telegraph, and I sort of, it took my breath away, really. It was this. Dorgu and Sesko were both the subject of brutal public criticism from Amrim late last year that antagonised and angered club chiefs, who felt it was counterproductive and hard to understand. Both players in turn have responded strongly to Fletcher and Carrick talking them up publicly and in private. And I think it's weeks since we sacked Amrim now. Why are the clubs still leaking against the manager that they sacked because he had an argument with them? Dorgu was playing well for Amrim before he got sacked. Sesko was playing well for Amrim before he got sacked. Sesko played well against Leeds and Villa. He just didn't take the chances. We've not just... Like, Carrick's done well, right? But Dorgu didn't start playing well just for Carrick. He was already doing well. I would say that Amrim demanded more from Sesko and Dorgu, and they both gave more whilst he was still there. I actually thought Dorgu was one of our best players over the Christmas period. But it's this nonsense that the club keep putting out there to try and make out that we were total shit before Carrick came in and now everything's good. We're all really happy with what Carrick's doing, but as Goldfridge says, Ahmad and Dorgu's work rate is because they've been playing as a bloody wing-back all season. Their intensity, their fitness, their desire is because we've been playing a 3-4-3. And Michael Carrick has basically took a team and simplified everything. You can see it in the performances. There's nothing... Le Mans said it yesterday. It's not that Michael Carrick's done anything revolutionary. We're just going out doing the simple things. And it makes sense. Under Amrim and under Ten Hag, you've got two managers that are trying to build something and failing, if we're being honest. They're trying to build something in their vision with one arm behind their back because they've got a board that doesn't support them. But they're trying to build something in their vision, aren't they? Whatever that vision is. Michael Carrick's come in and gone, we're just going to play a 4-3-3. We're going to keep it really simple. We're going to be compact. And then we're going to move the ball quickly and we're going to work hard and we're going to counter quickly and we're going to have a go and we're going to enjoy ourselves. It's simple. We all know we can't play like that for the next 6 months. We know we can't. We know we've got to do something else against the low block. We know we've got to play a different way against different teams. But let's not forget that it's not about Carrick against Amrim. And I know Michael Carrick's not allowed to say it, but I guarantee he would if he could. He knows he's not picking up a team that's not fit. So many managers come in and go, well, you know what? What surprised me, first of all, is that the team's not very fit. He can't say that because we all know the team's very, very fit. We all know the team presses very well. We all know that the team's only lost 5 games. What it needed to do was kill games off. That was inexperience from Amrim. The amount of times we were in winning positions and we drew. I mean, you look at Forest away, winning at halftime. You look at Spurs away, winning at halftime. You look at Bournemouth at home, how many times were we winning that? West Ham at home, we're winning that. And we sat back. That's inexperience from Amrim. You can't deny it. And it used to piss me off. But that's 4 games where we drew and took 4 points instead of 12. So I just think Carrick simplified things. I think he's gone, look, you look at the Arsenal game, 2-2. I think Amrim probably does sit back there. I think Amrim probably does take Dorgu off and bring Yoro or Heaven on. Carrick took Dorgu off and brought Sesko on. And we end up winning the game. So it's simplifying things, isn't it? And the players have reacted really, really well to that. But I do agree with Goldfridge. I think that there is really good foundations there that I don't think Carrick would have got the results he's got without the foundations of what, let's be honest, we're quite a fit team. We do a lot of running. Tuning in from America at 4 a.m. Love your videos. Says Bats Productions. Legend. Let us know where you're watching from. Jake Shaw, thanks for your super chat. Carrick has said Rashford, Maguire, Shaw, Maynou all go to the World Cup, says Robert McCormack. Mate, you must have been out of tissues last night when you heard that. Well, Rashford's going to the World Cup. I think he works perfectly with Harry Kane. Luke Shaw shouldn't go to the World Cup. I wouldn't take Luke Shaw to the World Cup. I want England to win the World Cup, Robert. I actually think we are going to win the World Cup, and I'm looking forward to the World Cup. I like what Tuchel's done with England. I like the fact that he's put quick players around Harry Kane and let them run past him. I like it. You know, I like the Saka, Rodgers, Rashford front three. Absolutely brilliant. I'm just getting some bad news in the chat. Apparently, Dorgu's out for 10 weeks. Oh, this is breaking news. I'm just trying to see where this is from. I mean, that's a season ender. Yeah. Hamstring. Ah. Oh. That is an absolute. I'll tell you what, in life, well, not even in life, I tell you what, that is. Can everybody just give me an applause? Not an applause, that's too much. Can everybody just say, this is why this is the best community? Because I said last night, Carrick's being left exposed by lack of transfers. And people were like, oh, he's so fucking negative. He's so negative. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about. Remember last year in the January transfer window when we didn't buy an attacker? And everyone was like, oh, why didn't we buy an attacker? Why didn't we buy an attacker? And then literally the first week of February, Ahmad got injured for 2 months. This is it. This is exactly what we're talking about. Exactly what we're talking about. What happens when it's the midfielder? So Dorgu's basically out for the season now. 10 weeks, April, forget about it, right? Big, big loss. Now, Cunha can come in. Of course, Cunha can come in. But it's bad news. He's playing brilliantly well. That is bad, bad news, right? This is why we need to act in the next few days, and we should have acted in the last few weeks. This is why Amorim was right about transfers, and I'm sure Carrick's saying the same. Wilcox and Berarda can't live on happy fumes or luck. And that's what they're looking to do. They're trying to be lucky. They're trying to please the Glazers, but also get Champions League football. You just can't do it. You can't get away with it. You can't sit there and go, we're not bringing players in, we're waiting till the summer. Because one of our best players is now out for 2.5 months. That's taken my breath away. It's like his bloody goal. I genuinely thought it was going to be cramp. As Paul says, that's a right kick in the bollocks. It is. And you know what, though? This is why Carrick is exposed, because he's done a really, really good job. And if those players start dropping, which they could do, it could be Maynou next week, it could be Maynou against Fulham, it could be, you know, it could be Casemiro. We start losing players for a month and you're going into games with limited options, you're going to start dropping points. We've seen what we can do when everybody's up for it. But what are the chances that we're going to get through the season with that being the case? It won't. So, I mean, that's of all the players. I mean, look, obviously, I think there's players you don't want to get injured beyond Dorgu, but I think he is probably the most exciting player we've got at the moment. And yeah, I mean, look, Cunha come straight into that position and he's playing very, very well. That's fine. But it's a warning. It's a warning that, like, this is why United sitting there going, we're waiting till the summer, waiting till the summer. It's a complete and utter shit show from Sir Jim and Berarda and Wilcox that they can't see these things happening. This happened to Ten Hag 2 years ago. It's why we finished eighth. Because you start to get a few injuries and your squad gets decimated and it hurts. Look at what happened to Man City last week with a few defenders out. We killed them. We battered Man City because they had no defence. And we might have beat them with a defence. We played very well, but there's no doubt that they were fucked because they had no defence. We're going to sit there and do nothing in the January transfer window when we needed to do something at the start of it. We've now lost Dorgu until April. One more injury in the midfield or the attack, and we're in trouble. Like, one more, and we are in trouble. Like, at the moment, you can play Dorgu, Ahmad, and Mbeumo when you've got Sesko and Xerxes and Mount. But one more, and you're starting to go, yeah. Recall Rashford till the end of the season, says KDB. Well, it's funny that you say that, because I don't think we can do it. Just having a quick look. Yeah. But this is this is why we need midfield backup. Obviously, with Dorgu, we do have some backup. But if we lose a midfielder, they've got to do something. Mr. Hanley says, brutal timing. Wish a speedy recovery. Surely we got to get in the market now. No excuses from those clowns upstairs. Well, I don't actually think they'll go into the market for anybody to cover off Dorgu, because they'll go Lacy, Ahmad, Xerxes. I mean, Xerxes is probably not going anywhere again. Xerxes is probably sat there going, oh, for fuck's sake. You know, he's probably not going to go anywhere. What if we lose Luke Shaw as well? Well, yeah, good point. If we lose Luke Shaw, we've got no left backs. Why it always is that gets the worst injury, says Chris. I mean, 10 weeks is a long time. I mean, you think about Bruno as well. Bruno had to come off against Villa at half time with a hamstring injury. He was back in 2 weeks. They're already saying 10 weeks for Dorgu. So that must be a very severe grade tear of his hamstring. I mean, I can't remember what they are, but 10 weeks is a long time. It's not unusual for a hamstring, but it means it's a bad one. Man City will go and buy a winger by the end of play, says Rajaf. Dorgu injury is just a preview of what can happen if you don't have depth. If we don't get low knees in for key positions and lose top five, Ineos are done for, says Hitton. You can't just write it. You just can't write it. Dorgu hamstring, says Ezra. The Cole Palmer saga was most probably to use the Man United hype before he launched his CP brand today, says Al Amir. And Dorgu reminds me of Alanga. Good, but not top tier, says Dave. He's only just 21, mate. Come on. Matson, Livramento, Anderson, Travernia. I'd be ecstatic, says Seth. And Amex gifted 10 memberships this morning. You're an absolute legend. You could bring back Mason Greenwood, says Nurse. I'll leave you that one. Should we get Garner back? Done that one as well. I just wanted to check something as well. I mean, this is always something worth keeping an eye on. What's Dorgu's injury history? Nothing, really. He's not really had anything at United. So, yeah, we don't need to worry about that too much then. I do worry about wingers and hamstrings. We had Ryan Giggs for years. Look at Dembele. Yeah. Injury means heavier workload on everyone else too. Increase injury likelihood, says Patrick Lynch. And, yeah. Well, look, we weren't talking about that. We weren't talking about that at all. But Dorgu out for 10 weeks is a massive blow. I mean, he scored, it's not an understatement. He's been man of the match at the weekend. He was very good against Man City. He scored goals in both games. He's a player that I think is causing oppositions a lot of problems. I think when you're up against Mbeumo and Ahmad and Bruno, you sort of know what you're going to get. The brilliance of Dorgu is it's a little bit like when Mason Greenwood burst on the scene. People just don't know how to deal with him because they just don't know what he's going to do. Powerful, quick. But fundamentally, it's a loss to us as fans because he's just an exciting player to watch. And we were literally talking 10 minutes before that broke about we don't need to buy a winger. It's his time. He's 21. You've got to invest in him. You've got to give him the opportunities. And it's a terrible time to pick up an injury because he was having a right glow up. And that platform between now and the end of the season was his to go and perform. And I mean, I don't know what Denmark's situation is in the World Cup. Are they in the World Cup or are they in a playoff as well? I mean, that's a blow for him as well. I think, yeah, I don't know whether Denmark have got playoffs or not, but it's bad. And also, look, it's a bad injury anyway. You don't want to be getting those types of injuries when you're 21 and you're a quick player. So they've got a playoff, Denmark, so he won't play in that either. So could damage his World Cup hopes as well. So, I mean, look, these things do happen in football, but that is a blow. That is a blow. And as I say, we can cover it off. We do have people like Mason Mount and Cunha and Xerxes and Lacey. You know, there are players. Ahmad can play out there. We can cover it off. But this is why last night we were talking about Carrick being exposed if we don't do anything in the January transfer window. It only takes... Well, we've had one of these already. You telling me in the next few weeks we're not going to get another one. We might get three or four. And then you're like, if one's in the midfield, it's big, big problems. So, yeah, forget the title now. We won't be winning the league now. That's blown our title hopes. But look, I'm sure we can cover it off. You've got to deal with these things, but the focus needs to go back to the board again. What are we doing? Like, what are you actually doing? Like, are you seriously going to sit there and just say, we're not doing anything? You've had more than enough warnings. The fan base has been on about it for a month. I'm sure Carrick is mentioning it as well. You've just had a major injury to one of our best players. Are you really going to let the next few days go by and then go, oh, you know what? We didn't think that was going to happen. I'm not saying go and buy a winger, but certainly go and get a midfielder in, because if we lose a midfielder, it's bad news. Hope you're well, Mark. And United Stan, great show as always. Such a blow, Dorgu's injury. Wish him a speedy recovery. Again, signifies that we must do business in January. Well, yeah. I mean, Dorgu literally was a January signing as well, wasn't he? Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Make sure you smash a like on the video. Dorgu's out for 10 weeks. A few people are tuning in. It's literally just broke in the last few minutes that Dorgu's injury that he went off with at the weekend, that we hoped was just a little... I mean, think about it. He was running through one-on-one, wasn't he, with Saliba? And they just he just sort of stretched for a ball, went down. And I can visualise it now. And I think we thought he'd done a lot of running. Maybe it was a bit of cramp. He was sat on the bench afterwards. Apparently, it's a major hamstring tear and he's out for 10 weeks. So it's not the end of the world. Let's get real. It's not the end of the world. We're still more than capable of winning a lot of games and getting top four. But it's more about, why aren't we doing anything in January? Why aren't we bringing a midfielder in January? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Make sure you smash a like on the video and subscribe. I'm going to be on Hot Takes with Terry at 11, and I'll speak to you all in a bit.